Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie and that's Ben over there. How are you doing, Benuni?
I'm great, thank you. How are you doing?
Everybody, welcome. It's Monday. Real Housewives of Atlanta Day. If you want this recap on video or you want our bonus episodes, this week will be a Top Chef, last week was Survivor. Or you want ad-free listening, or you want a Discord server access, or you want other stuff. There's a free newsletter. A lot of stuff over there. Go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Today is Real Housewives of Atlanta, Season 17, Episode 4. Where's the beef and the budget? What'd you think?
Good. I enjoy a good old-fashioned beef and vegan dispute. I actually really enjoyed it a lot. I thought that was a really good episode. I'm just enjoying the energy on the show. And so far, I'm happy with it. I feel like I was tormented all night long. I just was like, I felt like I could hear the people working at Slutty Vegan every time I walked into a room being like, Ben is in the room. I was like, oh my God. I hate when restaurants do gimmicks like that. Like you walk in a restaurant and they like say something. Oh, I'm like, please let me just walk in. Let me walk in, Slutty Vegan.
Hey, slut.
But overall, I was happy. What did you think?
I would not be at a restaurant. It's like, hey, slut. Like, how dare you? What are you, my mother? God. What are you?
About to be like, what are you, a gay bar?
Hey, slut.
Yeah, I don't need to be judged like that. You know, this Pinky's trying me. I mean, look, her whole, like, you need to bring $4,000 worth of formula to my thing. Fuck that. You are new here. I'm not paying $4,000 to come to your party. You don't even pay your bills. How about you pay your damn bills? Okay. And ask me for charity later. I'll send them. And also I'm not getting vegan ass formula. That baby doesn't even know it's vegan yet. That baby has not made this lifestyle choice. And you are not getting me to spend four times as much for regular formula. Here's some powdered formula like everybody else gets that was made probably by cow balls. Okay. And you can have that, you goddamn baby. You don't have a job yet.
Yeah, I was shocked when Phaedra said that she had to spend $4,000. I thought she was exaggerating. She said, you know, it's $28 a can, which is crazy. And then I was like, well, how many cans? Even honestly getting 10 cans at $28 a piece, putting out $280 for a friend's event, that's a lot. But then I saw when we went to the event, we saw that there was like a large amount of supplies for everyone. I'm like, oh, she really did have to spend $4,000. That's crazy. I'm sorry. That's a big ask. It's a good thing Britt Eady was not on the cast anymore because
yeah, you know,
we saw that the one four pack of Charmin was kind of the extent of her budget.
Yeah, I don't know. That's so nice that you're doing charity for people. I think that that's great, but that's a tax write-off for your business, first of all. Or you, like, I don't know, this is your charity. But to tell me, like, come volunteer your time and $4,000. No, you don't get to tell me when I'm charitable. I mean, that's a housewives thing, but usually it's left up to you to give. Like, you know, like they had people bring toilet paper, like you mentioned the Britt Eady thing, but 4,000, you're crazy. You're out of here.
Well, I mean, look, if you are wealthy, you know, a lot of times when you are of the tax bracket that they portray on these shows, $4,000 is something very manageable. But what I just get nervous about is that, like, I never really know how much money anyone on any Real Housewives show actually has. They all present like they have a lot of money, but I just assume they're all in staggering debt. And it's just always a matter of time before that all comes out. So I think asking Phaedra to give $4,000, I mean, like, that's probably okay for her to do. She can probably handle it. But, like, I don't know. Maybe she's in massive debt. Maybe she owes a lot on something because she's a Real Housewife. And this is what they do. They just present excessive wealth and then get caught up by the IRS and whatever debtors are out there or creditors or whoever it is.
Yeah. It's dangerous, especially right now, because this show, you've got Pinky filing bankruptcy. You've got Angela screwed on her all of her stuff. You've got the Kelly, who's broke as well. So don't be asking. Yeah. Don't be inviting me, who's one of your poorer friends, and then asking me to donate to your charity. If I'm going to do charity, I'll do charity my way. You don't get to tell me to do charity. It's like when someone else has a fundraiser on Facebook and then you donate $500 or whatever, and then their number goes. It's like, oh, wow, now look how much this person raised. I'm like, excuse me, that was my $500.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want my credit for my own thing. Charity is only for credit. I'm just kidding.
Maybe,
it's only for
maybe
Instagram. But
maybe the better thing would be to leverage the cast's fame and throw an event where people pay money to come meet people. And then you use that money to buy the supplies that you give away. But I think it's a lot to ask your I think it's a lot to ask your celebrity friends to both leverage their presence and to give a lot of money. I mean, it's great. I mean, look, and if you are doing a charity, you're always going to ask for it. I just think it's wild. And there wasn't really a conflict. It wasn't like someone decided not to spend that money and then there was an issue. But
well,
I can't
because you're going to be shamed. Wow. It's like she's 4,000. Got you.
Yeah,
she's got you. So if you refuse, you're going to be shamed. So I just think that's uncool. Man. But, you know, giving to the charities, I hope those vegan babies are happy.
I sort of am in. I've been enjoying discussing charity etiquette between this and Married to Medicine because it's a really actually fascinatingly thorny issue because everyone wants to be charitable and everyone wants to help out, especially if you're a celebrity, especially if you're on TV, there's more pressure to do that kind of stuff. But like, what are the limits and like, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate for giving? You know, like, are you a total dick if you say, hey, I don't like how this is being run, so I'm not going to give? Like, are you a dick because you're putting your sort of ego about this organization first before the people who need the help? Or are you being someone who deservedly has a right to say no to things and will get donate on their own terms? And I am into it.
Yeah, like, is it?
I think it's really cool
to be like, hey, I'll donate, but I'm going to donate to animal eating babies because their formula is cheaper. So sorry.
Well,
animal eating babies count too.
Right.
That'll be my slogan when I'm invited. Hey, slut.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So
we also get taglines, which is fun. Well, we got them. We just haven't talked about them.
I'm about to say, I thought we already had taglines, but I think we didn't. Yeah, we didn't talk about them yet on the show. So here we are. Taglines for season 17. Do you want to start off?
Sure. Portia.
I've lived many lives and all of them have been fabulous.
That's about as generic as can be. I have to say that that's a that one could have used some work. That was a that was such a default Housewives line. There's like no wordplay there. There's nothing clever. Unless
it should
it's
have
something
been like
where
when
we
the
find
cats,
out,
you know, when the cat's been deported, the mouse plays or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless there's going to be a thing later on where she's like really into reincarnation. So the I lived many lives makes more sense. But right now that's like pretty.
And one of them, she was Shirley MacLaine.
Who just celebrated her birthday a few days ago, by the way.
Crazy. She's like, God bless her, still with us. I love Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah. And some other like icon just had her birthday like a few days ago where I was like, oh my God, Ronnie, this person's birthday was yesterday. I don't remember who it was.
Why didn't
you
text me? Was it not iconic
enough? Probably like, it was probably like whoever got third billing on the sitcom Nurses. I'm like, oh my God. I don't remember who it was. I will look it up because there was a really good birthday in the past few days. Beyond
whoever you were, happy birthday. I'm sorry you're no Park overall. Sorry.
Yeah. Unless you're part of the cast of Empty Nest or Diane Wiest.
Am I just Diane Wiest in anything? Yeah.
Just a sitcom that I made in my mind. Okay. Speaking of actresses, Drew, she says, if you cast me in your drama, I only accept leading roles. See, that I think that's actually a pretty good one. I like that. That's some wordplay going on there.
Yeah.
Give me a face.
Well, I'm just trying to make it make sense drama. In my head. Yeah, I only
she's
accept
full
leading
drama.
Roles. I'm going to be the main drama in your life. So Shamia says, I've been loyal to a fault, and now I'm ready to have my own back. Oh, God, Shamia is still going on about how loyal she was to Portia. Listen, if you want a season that you're not in Portia's shadow, don't make your tagline about Portia. I mean, what do I have to do, Shamia? Like, do I have to come over there and help you? Because I'll do it, okay? I like you. Mm-hmm. Well, I really want to like you, but you're getting on my nerves.
I know. It's so crazy. I was totally on her side last year. I really liked Shamia. I was so happy for her star moment. But now something changed in the off season, and I just am not in the mood. I also don't think this is a good tagline. I've been loyal to a fault, and now I'm ready to have my own back. That's another generic one. We go to Kelly, who's I'm short, seasoned, and always a full course meal. A little clunky, if you ask me.
She's mixing metaphors. Like, what is she talking about? I'm short, seasoned, and always a full course meal. What the fuck is that?
She starts by describing herself and then just segues into a plate of food.
Yeah, it's weird. Like maybe I'm a short stack, you know?
Yeah.
Like a pancake or something. Like, I'm a short stack, I'm sweet, and I don't know. I'm a grand slam too, or something. I don't know, but I'm short and seasoned and a full course meal.
Why? I think like she should have said something like, I may be the waffle queen, but I always stand on point. Right. So it's like waffle, not waffling. Right. Like something like that.
Yeah.
But you always know where I stand
on is my loyalty or something.
Yeah. Like, how do you not have waffle in your tagline? You don't know if you're coming back next year. You've got to get waffle in there. That's crazy.
Yeah, but I'm short. She shouldn't have I'm short.
I think it's the I'm short. That's a problem. If she said I'm well-seasoned and always a full course meal, it would have been totally fine. But the I'm short has nothing to do with it. I feel like there were two lines and she couldn't decide between both of them. So they squeezed them together. And the short just makes no sense in it. Like, I'm short, I'm seasoned, and I'm a full course meal.
But you know, these lines go through so much vetting because I've written a couple of these lines. Thank you very much. And when I did it, they really take those lines and they make you do them 20 different times. And then they chop them up and they come back completely unrecognizable. Like the ones I did were not even recognizable to what I wrote. I wrote Lisa Rinna's I wrote two of Lisa Rinna's. And by the time they came back, by the time they came on the show, they were completely unrecognized. They didn't even make any sense. So that's why I never was like bragging that I did it, because I was like, I don't want to take credit for that. That's just stupid. But they ruined it. So I'm wondering if they did that to her. But I mean, there's like a whole committee that vets these things. So there's no excuse for something like this, is my point. And also that I wrote two Housewives lines. Of course, I have to get that out there just in case I die soon. That's probably all that's going to be on my grave. But someone put like, Ronnie wrote two of Lisa Rinna's taglines and they were both mangled. R.I.P.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I never shared this with you, but I actually also wrote a Housewives tagline and it was also mangled. It was originally, the tagline famously is, throw me to the wolves and I'll come back leading the pack. But my original version was, oh my God, Dinah Manoff, I'm such a huge fan. And they just completely mangled it. And I just feel like they really lost the spirit of what I originally wrote.
I think mine ended up being like, these lips were made for talking and that's just what they'll do. But that wasn't the line. It was a witty line. It was, I don't remember what it was. I've got it somewhere. And then what was her other one? God damn it. I wrote two good ones and they both came out idiotic.
Own it? Something about owning it?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like, yes. Thank you. It was the own it one. But it was a cute line when I wrote it. And then it came back like, I don't have to buy it. I already own it. Or something. And I was like, come on, you guys. I spent 5 minutes on that. And this is how it comes back.
Well, it sounds like someone in Kelly's life, a gay in Kelly's life, probably had a better version of this. And it went through.
They just mangled it.
a committee of producers and assistants, and it wound up in this weird Frankenstein line about being short but also a full meal. Maybe it should have been like, I'm pint sized, or like, I may be a small, like, I may be a small dish, but I'm a full course meal. Maybe something like that. Like, something went wrong here.
Yeah, very wrong. So Angela's is, in a field of players, I always run it back.
Decent, except that basketball players don't play on fields.
Oh, that's true. And also, I'm assuming she's not a player.
But like, I'm saying that like, that's, I'm assuming the illusion is the fact that like, she is married to an athlete. That's why we say in a field of players. But like, yeah. He plays on a court.
I'm married to an old grumpy sports star, and anytime soon, he'll be dribbling something. Beers.
If you call me to the foul line, I always get my point.
I don't need a fan, but I've always got plenty of them. Something like that, you know, because her thing is fans.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm my own biggest fan. But that. How about
so? Charles needs to invest $50,000 into me so I can keep fanning myself.
Yeah, I'm nice. I'm hot, and I'm my biggest fan.
Yes. Like that. Okay. There you go. Don't get me heated. Something like that.
I just want to say Angela's is in a field of players. And then when we go to Phaedra's, here's Phaedra's. Phaedra's is in a world of legends. They call me the Godfather. This one also is legitimately terrible. This sounds like she's about to say something else. It's like there should be more to it. But also, how are you going to have back to back in a world of, in a field of? That's just bad planning.
In a pen full of cows, Nexus Pinky, just everybody in a world.
What are these all like trailers? Are we at AMC Theaters? In a world of legends.
They call you the Godfather. Okay, I mean, I get that refers to her storyline from last year being accused of stuff.
Where's the wordplay? There's like no wordplay here. In a world of legends, they call me the Godfather. How about like they may call me the Godfather, but I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse. Or no, that's not great. Like when I make you an offer you can't refuse, you'll want to take it. Or you. How about you're my brother? You're my brother.
Why is there a horse head in my bed? What the fuck? Or
they
just
call me the Godfather.
Or just a good old fashioned, like every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in, you know, because she's a
comeback. That like would be perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Or they
call me the Godfather, but I never succumb to mob mentality.
There you go. Or like, yep. I don't need to be married to the mob.
I think actually we both had really good ones.
Or something, you know? Yeah, I think so. Okay, so then Pinky says, while they're busy beefing, I stay vegan.
I think that one's good. That's wordplay.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least wordplay. I think my general problem with it is... you know, vegans like don't bother me. I'm a pescatarian, and actually, I would be a vegan if I had any kind of self discipline at all, but I don't. I believe in that cause, and I stand behind vegans. Actually, but I've watched every vegan documentary on Netflix. Okay, so what does that tell you? I'm basically marching in the parade. I don't love when people make their entire personality about that. You know, like I'm vegan, and that's all they fucking talk about is I'm vegan and I can't have this. And it just becomes a huge thing. And then a dinner party is a huge thing. And then they have to talk about their reasoning for it. And then they have to talk about it. They never shut the fuck up about it. It's like a gluten-free person. You know, I don't wish ill on gluten-free people, but being in a family full of gluten-free people, that's all we talk about. It's like, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. So I don't like it for that reason. I'm going to give it a no for that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that there are a good number of vegans out there who just, they aren't satisfied just having a plant-based diet. They have to actually try to sell you on it. And I get it. It's like me with board games, because it's easier when other people are doing it with you, because, you know, otherwise you are the odd one out, or people don't make a comment. If like you have a group of vegans around you, then like you don't have to worry. You don't have to ask questions like, is there dairy in this? Is there this? Well, you know, that's actually not vegan. You can just eat the food that you want. So I get it.
Yeah.
But I also do think it's really annoying, like the amount of proselytizing that happens. That being said, and I say this as someone who really adores vegan food, but I think this is a good line, because she is a vegan. It is her angle. She has her company. And I think this is an example of where Kelly falls, quote unquote, short, because this is wordplay that pertains to her business and her storyline. She is beefing. Like, while others are beefing, I say vegan. I say out of the beef. So I think this one is so far the best one of the lot.
Okay. Okay, so maybe even I would prefer, like, you know, veganism. I'm vegan and Phaedra eats people, something like that. But yeah, I agree. So far, it's the best. Okay, so K Michelle is like, K Michelle's is,
I don't need any background singers. It's always my show.
That's cute.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Cute.
It'd be great, especially if she has a storyline about like having a fallout with backup singers.
Yes. Oh God, I hope so. So, slutty vegan. Here we go. Pinky's in the building. Okay, she's like, it's
Pinky's in the building.
Pinky's in the building. Is this a Kelly scene? Imagine.
By the way, if you're going to be having an affair, do not go to Slutty Vegan, because even though the name is Slutty Vegan, they will out your illicit arrival.
Especially if you walk in, they're like, slut incoming. Like, well, geez, oh my God, Marty, why don't you just stone me to death? Sorry,
oh my God. Dr. Brian's in the house. She's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, don't tell Rula.
So they're gonna have a community event on Friday. Brian's in the house. I was never there. I see a picture of you at Slutty Vegan, Brian, with a hot dog, sharing your mouth and the other lady's mouth. I don't know what you're talking about. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. It's Brian.
Joellen's on the ground. He's not a slut. You're using AI to make him look like a slut at the vegan restaurant.
This girl is known to use AI. Oh my God, that show. Now that show. Okay, we'll talk about that next. So now, that's Rhode Island, by the way. If anybody isn't watching that, you should be. So Pinky talks about her foundation. The Pinky Cole Foundation is her nonprofit organization. And every year they give back to show her support. That's great. You give back. Don't make me. I've paid the rents for local businesses. Pay your own. I've paid the tuitions for college students. That's nice. And I got all the girls to provide some different toiletries just so that people in the community can have what they need. So that's all good.
Yeah. Toiletries. Yeah. So, no, I'm just saying.
You're just like, hanging out. You're just hanging out.
Baby formula. No, baby formula is like a little bit more than a toiletry, but whatever. So they're going to have this whole thing. Kelly shows up. She barely gets through the door. And they're like, Kelly's in the house. Slutty, short slut in the house who's seasoned in a full meal.
And I thought this was so funny, because Kelly usually walks in like, hey, it's me, Kelly. And this time, everybody else is like, Kelly, it's Kelly. And she was like, wow, didn't you have to do anything? What do I do when it's the people shouting at me? Like, you saw a moment of like pure concern on her face. Like, whoa, I'm being beat at my own game. But then she just joined. Yeah. She's like, yeah. God, so Pinky, I just do not want this good cheer when I'm eating. I just don't want it. I want shame.
It's too much. And you can actually hear throughout the rest of the scene, every time someone comes in, you hear in the background, announce. I'm like, oh my God, it's too many announcements. So Pinky tells us, well, we all know a slut. And when I started Slutty Vegan, I'm like, you know what? A slut needs to call out a slut. And we've been calling people sluts ever since. I'm sure Amber Rose is so mad. She's like, that was my thing. So that's the thing. Slutty vegan. It's here. So Pinky introduces Kelly to all these people and everything. And Kelly's saying how she's excited for this event. And Pinky is saying, like, she's assigned different things to everyone in the group to bring. So Shamia is going to bring Pampers. Kay is going to bring feminine products. Angela's undergarments. Cynthia's toothbrush. Cynthia got off easy. Because, wait, Angela has to bring undergarments? That's not cheap. Cynthia bringing toothbrushes, you can get, like, 200 toothbrushes for probably, like, $40. Whereas, like, 200 undergarments, that's a lot of money. Wow, Cynthia lucked out on that one.
That is spoken like a true slut, Ben. Mr. Buying tons of toothbrushes just to have in your house so no one has to use yours when they come over for a quickie. Ben's just got like a whole cabinet full of toothbrushes there. His Timu toothbrushes.
Well, I have to imagine they give them out so freely at the dentist's office that they have to be cheap, right? Like I think you could probably get a giant pack of Costco for pretty cheap. I have to imagine.
So, yeah, Kelly is like, how are you feeling? And Pinky says, oh, my God, you've seen I'm all over the news. You know, God, I was like, it's hard being a D-list celebrity, honey. And we see the headlines. All about the tea. Slutty vegan restaurateur Pinky Cole sued for $87,000 in unpaid rent.
She's like, yeah, I like it, but I don't want to be popular for that girl. Okay, that's like too much. So Kelly's like, well, the fact that you're going through all this and you still want to get back to the community, that's why you are that girl, right? And so Pinky's like, yeah, but it's been like really tough. And I think I'm going to file for bankruptcy. And Kelly's like, oh my God, me too. Me too. You know, I went through all this stuff with my ex-husband and I was an owner and I guaranteed a lot of things in my name. She's like, oh my God, that's me too. We're both so bad at business. We are terrible at this. Oh my God.
Bankrupt buddies. So that's pretty cute. Also, Kenya, it's been a bad weekend for these ladies on this show. Kenya got kicked out of her salon finally after talking about how her rent's, you know, she's fine and everything's fine and everyone's just a hater and this and that. And they finally put her stuff out on the street this week over around this much in unpaid rent.
Yeah, they put it on the street. And of course, Britt Edie drove by and did a victory lap, which I thought was pretty tacky.
Well, it's Britt Edie, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Britt Edie is tacky. What are you going
to
do?
For someone who's like left the Housewives and wants to move on, she certainly is spending a lot of time rolling around in the mud. So,
yeah,
you know. Good luck.
Well, she's still trying to get that lawsuit money too, right? I wonder what ever happened with that.
No.
Yeah.
She's terrible.
Yeah, she sucks. So Kelly is saying her goal was to just get through her divorce, but now she has to think of bankruptcy because there's so much debt, you know, because of her marriage and closing a business. And she says, and Abraham Lincoln went through bankruptcy 3 times. So at this point, I'm Kelly Lincoln. Does that mean this is her 3rd time going through bankruptcy?
Does that mean you're a little bit mentally unstable?
I'll tell you this. You probably shouldn't go to the theater anytime soon.
Listen, I saw Oh Mary. Okay. Is that true? Did Abraham Lincoln go bankrupt 3 times? Did personal bankruptcy exist back then? I know that sounds like a stupid question, but I don't know. Like, was bankruptcy a concept that like emerged in the Industrial Revolution, or did it exist back then? Questions
that will keep me up. It says Abraham Lincoln did not go bankrupt 3 times. He suffered major financial ruin once in the early 1830s following the failure of his general store in New Salem, Illinois. Known as Honest Abe for his integrity, Lincoln paid off the substantial debt over many years, a burden that left him insolvent after his partner died, forcing him to surrender his personal assets.
Well, I heard his general store was actually doing quite well until he decided to go into fashion and he released Link by Linkay, and just he never quite got that
Link
off the
ground. Link by Linkay. He had a fashion show with no fashions.
It was dreadful.
Mary Todd Lincoln's like, how are you going to have a fashion show with no fashions?
Yeah, so I don't know if I'd be calling myself Abraham Lincoln on this one, Kelly, but also don't be smirch Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's like, listen, I made great waffles. How dare you? I was broke, but I could still whip out some waffles, okay?
Yes. The first, I just want everyone to know whether or not bankruptcy as a concept, as like a legal concept, was developed in the Industrial Revolution, a concept that for some reason I just hatched in my head based off of nothing. I just want to say that the first formal bankruptcy legislation was established in England in 1542. So you're welcome, everyone. I'm just about 400 years off, but it's fine. It's fine.
1542. Okay, yeah. So Kelly, they bond over this, and Kelly's like, listen, why aren't you telling your husband? And she's like, I'm not telling him. He's got his own stuff. I've got to get myself out of this. And Kelly's like, you are with $100 million man over there. Okay, you better let that man know what you need. She's like, God, hear my cry. God will provide, and he will provide for you too.
Yeah. So they're sorry, I got distracted by bankruptcy law research here. So Pinky is now, the issue is that, her issue is with Phaedra now, because Phaedra has been allegedly saying that Pinky has been eating meat, which could be a real issue for her brand. And Pinky tells us, you know, I'm on the board of PETA. I have all these accolades for building a vegan business. You know, vegan bankruptcy is a very special bankruptcy. We have to use our own unique paper. And, you know, you just can't be walking around here saying that I eat meat when that's not the truth. I mean, are you my cavity? When was the last time you were in my mouth? So does veganism cause cavities? Is that what she's trying to say?
So she's like, let's have a bankruptcy party. And they're laughing. And she goes, you can only come in if you tell your credit score.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Let's go over to Shamia's house. Okay. I'm saying it now. I don't like Shamia's husband. There, I said it. I think he's a jerk. he comes off it. Maybe he's just not good on camera or something, but he seems like a total asshole on camera.
But also, wouldn't you be like have that sort of reaction if you had to deal with Shamia's drama club antics all day long? Like at a certain point, you just get the Dave eyes from Garfield. Like, because she's trying on this blue dress because she's going to be doing this like Dallas trip to Tequila. Dallas trip to Tequila. Cynthia's doing a tequila event. We're finding out. So she's trying on this blue dress, this hideous blue dress. Oh my God. I hated it. It looked like it had like a snake crawling around it, but not in a fabulous way, but like in a Holly Hobby way. It was awful. So she's trying this on, and we find out that Cynthia is going to be, she's doing her tequila thing. And we hear Cynthia tell everyone at the nail salon, "Cha, I just partnered with the Maloof family. A tequila called Tequila Commissario." And then out of nowhere, they show this footage from like archival footage from like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 2 or something like that of like Adrian Maloof and Lisa Vanderpump. I just thought that was so funny. Like the crossover we were all waiting for Lisa Vanderpump to finally show up on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Tequila Casaladio or whatever. I just remembered Adrian's drink that she came out with, the vodka or whatever she came out with. Remember on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills where she's like, I got my own vodka now. It's called like Vodka Adriana and it's got a light in the bottom of it. And that was like her big selling thing, is that you like pushed a button on the bottom of the bottle and it would like light up under the bottle and flash and stuff. And that vodka sucked. Do you remember that?
I don't. I really, The vodka that I really remember the most is, of course, the Bloody Piggy from Real Housewives of Orange County. But
sure.
one of the greatest moments of Bravo branding. I mean, it stayed with me all these years.
Yeah. Where's Cynthia's drink that she came out with? What was that drink that she didn't she have like a peach spritzer something with, like, or something?
Schweppes. Wasn't she doing something with like Schweppes? It was like
sweet tea.
Yeah, peach.
Sweet peach tea, something or other. Spritz.
Yeah. I don't know.
So Cynthia's like, yeah, I'm partnered with the Maloofs, known for their fabulous drinks. Blink, blink. It's a little light blinking at the bottom. So then Cynthia is saying Dallas is her biggest market. So she's bringing the ladies to celebrate. So now we go back to Shamia and she's like, come on, Gerald, are you going to miss me? And he's like, yeah. She's like, but don't you want to come with me? And he just stares at her like, don't start this shit with me.
He's like, no.
Yeah, I do not want to come. She's this. Like, you could check on your company there, and then you could come to the gala with me. And he's like, yeah, I'll let you handle that. I'm not doing this.
So Jamia is like, well, I'm not shocked because he doesn't like to hang out with the girl group, but I want my J.R. Ewing. I want my Gerald Mwangi. Kind of sounds the same, right? J.R. Gerald. I got to say, at least I tried. I'm like, please, please get a new writer.
He says, well, I wanted to give you a quick update on a surrogate. We're expecting legal documents today. And she's like, well, she's been cleared. That's the scariest part. So she talks about her journey. The last one had a failed transfer, so they fired her, basically, which is crazy.
Yeah, and they only have like
surrogates. That's like a rough market. Like, I'm sorry, we've called you in here today. You had a failed transfer. Pack up your things and go. Okay, pack it up and go. Pick up your little baby monitor thing, your little heart rate listener, your little massager with the gel on it. Get the fuck out of here. What the hell? Sorry, I didn't do it on purpose.
I know. So, yeah, they only have one male embryo left, and they really want to have a son. So the stakes are really high. And so they're going to do whatever they can do. And she's basically doesn't really want to do IVF again. And it's the same storyline we've seen on like three different shows this year. So I don't take away from the high stakes of the situation that they are in, but I will say it's not entertaining for me. Sorry. And if someone says, but this is real, I will say, I know it's real. But you know what else is real? Toe fungus. Do I want to see a story about it? No.
Exactly.
Sorry if that sounds incredibly insensitive, but like, honestly, I'm just.
Yeah. No, I
just give me the update later. Just tell me how it all works out and I'll be happy for you or sad for you. But
I'm kind of mad for the surrogate. I feel bad for the surrogate. It feels so like old timey problematic to be like, failed transfer, get rid of her. Burner clothes. Mm-hmm. This is like feels gross. So then we go to Portia's house, and she's packing for her trip. And guess who's back? Tall Mike. Tall Mike is back, and he's like, "Hello, it's me, Tall Mike. I got you roses, Mike. And the flower says, 'I want you.'"
You know, I went on to a plane recently, and someone brought a bouquet of roses that was as large as the bouquet that he brought over. Like the bouquet on this show was enormous. They brought it on, and they were like, where can I put these? I was like, lady, why do you have this enormous, like 75 rose bouquet on this plane? Where are you supposed to put it? That's not going to fit overhead. You can't even put it overhead. You can't put it on your side. I think they had to like put it over where the crew sits. And I was like, that feels unfair. Why does she get to have a giant bouquet on this plane right now?
That should have been her personal item, and they should have put it up with the luggage. You know,
in the yeah, but overhead. Like it can't go in the luggage, right? Because you can't put it on side. It's going to spill water everywhere. I thought it was outrageous.
Why was she allowed to bring on a huge vase with water? Why can't I bring? I can't even bring on mouthwash.
I don't even. Maybe there was no. You know what? Honestly, I have no idea. I didn't even think about the water part. I'm assuming there was water in there, but maybe there wasn't. I don't know what it was, but it was one of those like enormous rose arrangements where it's like sort of like a black base, and then there's like a ball of roses. You know, and it's just like enormous. It was like the size of like two people's heads. And I was like, why are you bringing this on the plane? Who gave this to you to transport, by the way? Who thought this was a smart idea to give this person these roses to transport across the country?
Yeah, agreed. So Portia is talking about Mike. She says he's very sweet and Sway is fine as hell. But, you know, she's just dating and enjoying the company of somebody who admires her and who's entertaining to her. And she's like, why are you wearing that? That's like female kryptonite. Was she referring to his giant diamonds?
Oh, I thought she was referring to the fake storyline. And she just loves a fake storyline, and that's kind of her kryptonite. So
yeah, she does though. Portia really does. So they're talking about this Dallas trip, and he's talking about how hot she is. I don't know. They're trying to make us believe they're a thing. I'm not really buying it. So then we're talking about her house. So she has... She's having to sell her house in Duluth And she was so excited to buy it because that was her first big purchase. And it was a symbol of her hard work. So much hair sold for that house. And when she went through the divorce, that house has $1 million worth of equity. And she needs that to keep this house.
Yeah. It's such a shame because she finally got a proper size welcome mat for that first house after all these years.
It was rough. That was a big point of contention, that welcome mat. I still think of welcome mats all the time, like the size of welcome mats at people's homes because of that. Always. Marlo.
Marlo's greatest contribution was pointing out the poor proportions on Porsche's welcome mat.
Shut up, you, with your tiny doormats. Tiny welcome mat, loser.
She literally used that. I remember they were in Spain and they were having a fight in Spain. And she was like, well, you got a tiny doormat.
Portia tells us that was the home that she raised Pilar in. That's the home that she thought her mom was going to be in. So you're taking your mom's house? You're kicking your mom out of the house?
Why don't you just
this big garish Simon mall house? Come on, Portia.
Yeah, you already have a house. Go back to that one. I mean, obviously, this is the better house. But,
but this house is like $1 zillion. Oh, yikes. So yeah, Mike is hugging her and she's like, you know what? I want to plan my life out. So, you know, everything's up in the air. And he's like, is my hug better? She's like, yeah, this makes it so much better. Nice. Can you hug me with $5 million so I can buy this house? Thanks.
She's like,
oh, by the way, I'm 44 and I've had 2 marriages and I've had a fiance and I've had a child and I've had a bunch of hot dogs because of Dennis. And like, I've done more than you have. And I know you're going to be a good dad. So,
and he's like, you don't want to have kids. She's like,
no.
And the whole thing is that he wants to have kids. He says that's going to be a deal breaker. So this is the way that she gets out of the fake storyline is that he wants to have kids. She doesn't. So, you know. There's not much time left in this storyline, especially because we know that she's going to wind up dating Sway.
And he wants 3 kids. 3. How old is he? Did they say how old he is?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell. I feel like he's probably sneaky old. He's probably like 48.
Demanding 3 children from a 44-year-old. These guys. So Kay Michelle, she's packing too, and she wants some big old dolly hair because Cynthia asked me to sing because we're going to be in Texas. And her assistant was like, for a fee, you'll sing, right?
And let's not overlook her. Well, I don't know if it was the assistant or a makeup artist or whoever, but his name is Pound Cakey, spelled Pound. It's like Pound Cake with an extra D and an extra E.
Pounded so his name is Pound Cakey.
Pounded a kicky. He was riding over some bumps when the name was spelled out. Pounded a kicky. Pound cake.
I mean, listen, if you're going to make up your own name, make it something delicious, but make it easier to Google. You know what I mean? Because that's just.
I would like to see.
Double E.
Can we get a scene of Pound Cake and Junebug together? I would really enjoy that.
So Kay Michelle is saying that Portia did apologize for how she made her feel. And hopefully they'll be okay to continue their friendship. But she's going to watch out for her because she's got a little slickness to her. Her and that Phaedra. And the fact that I have a whole drain on me and I'm just moving through life. No motherfucker can't even die over here. Okay?
Pancake's like... You can't ever die. You know, you can't die over here. She's like,
no, I'm not going to. Who's going to pay for your bills, Pound Cake?
What
Who's
did Phaedra
gonna
do
buy that extra valve for you?
He's like, I'm really saving you up for an extra pee.
Those are free, Pound Cake. Those are free. You just got to wait for your turn.
Is her whole issue with Phaedra that Phaedra's laugh is weird? Wasn't that her? Isn't that what she said last week? She was like,
or, yeah, she says Phaedra doesn't do anything. She's like, what is she even doing here? I don't know if she feels like she's not contributing as a housewife, which is kind of funny to make that in your first season. Like, yeah, she's not giving enough. Get rid of her. But she says she doesn't know what Phaedra's up to because Phaedra just doesn't talk. Michelle is giving me the impression of someone just looking for an argument at this point. So
yeah.
I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing because you are on a housewives show and she makes me laugh. But I've got my eye on her because she looks like she's just trying to start something with anybody. which I like, you know, it's your first season. Go for it.
Someone told me recently in a very ominous way, they were like, you know, K. Michelle is so talented, but there's a reason why she can't stay at any label. It's because she's a friend to no one. I was like, oh, I felt like I was being cursed or something. But that, I guess, is the word on the street. She's a friend to no one.
Oh, is that how you are at labels? People are so friendly at labels, I hear. It's crazy.
Yeah, those record labels, all they want are really strong relationships with people, and they will never drop anyone as long as that person just keeps working at their craft.
Rumored to be the best friend of all people, Jack Antonoff. Everyone just loves the guy.
God, I love his music that he's been doing in the same way for 10 years. It's so reliable. It's like a CBS procedural.
Well, what I've been worried about is Portia making money. So thankfully, this next scene is just SponCon for Portia. Portia's like,
when you're single, you can't be out here dating with mediocre. I want to keep everything on point and elevated at Drenched Fitness Gym.
Drenched. Well, I get it. You're supposed to be sweating so much that you're drenched. I don't know why. I feel like drench is going to be the next moist. It's going to be one of those words that people will say, mm-hmm. I don't like that you just said that.
Portia drove up to the shooting location and just saw the sign and went,
miscarriage?
And you're like, no, God damn it, Portia. Stop saying that.
So Portia, Phaedra's like, they get there and Phaedra's like, well, they think I'm the godfather. I think he's the godfather because Charles is there. Charles, drops Angela off and Charles sees Phaedra and he's like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Oh, wait, it's you. And they of course show a flashback of Phaedra being like, I've been in many rooms with Charles. I know who Charles is. I've seen him from my seat when he was on a basketball court. So we're basically best buds.
And he's like, you don't know me. And she's like, we've been in the same rooms. He goes, that doesn't mean you know me. And she's like, well, okay, fine, Charles. I don't know you, Charles. So Portia's saying, you know, Phaedra and Angela just made up. So what better way to move forward than together at Drenched Gym?
We're going to get drenched. So they do a whole spin class. They do a lot of that, like spin dancing. I can't stand dancing while spinning. Like when you're like trying to, I can't do it. I'm like, I can't dance very well when I'm standing on a floor. So don't make me also dance while I'm on a bike. It's just when I've taken like a SoulCycle class, I am like, I can't, this is not what I can do. And I did one Peloton class. It was like a groove ride. I had no idea what a groove ride was. I was like, okay, now you move your butt back and forth, back and forward and back, forward and back. It's like jazzercise, but you're also on a bike. Not for me. Not for me.
Sound good. That doesn't sound fun.
It's not,
especially when they're like, okay, now slap your ass while you're on the bike. And they're like reaching behind to slap their own ass. So what is this?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's too much. But it looked like a great workout. So very happy for everyone.
Congratulations. You've reached the end of part one of a 2-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
Whip up a meringue. It's Amanda E. Lemon.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose. She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Shiraus.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.